Well, good morning, Asbury. Welcome to the celebration service. It's so good to see all of you here today. If you'll stand up with us, we're going to start our service this morning just celebrating the strong name of the Lord. Let's worship Him today for His faithfulness, His steadfastness. Let's lift up our hearts in song. Join with us as we sing this morning. Let's praise Him.
Please have a seat. My name is Chase Green. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury, and it's a delight and a joy to be able to welcome you as we come here to worship give praise to God, to fellowship with one another. We're starting a sermon series the next 3 weeks on Christ and creation. Today is about mountains. Next week is about the lake. And the third week is about Christ going into the woods or the wilderness. I hope that our music this morning uplifts your spirit in a way that you can give praise to God. And I hope that the word and the message that is delivered, that it would find its way into your heart and mind in a new way. I want to share with you a couple of announcements. First of all, early this morning, several of our youth and youth counselors with Amy Bennett, our youth minister, went off to Daytona for a beach camp ministry week. And they're going to be there praising God and doing some mission work, and so we want to be in prayer for them. And also, this coming Thursday is Children's Ministry Goes to the Movies, and I believe they're going to see Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. So, mark your calendars for that. If you would, please, you have the attendance pads that have been passed to you, if you would sign your attendance into there. We also want to welcome Kayla White as our guest lead musician this morning, who Amen. Has gotten us here this morning and leading us in some great praise and worship. And if you would please stand and greet one another and ask, where were you born?
Oh. Well, I want to read from you the prophet Isaiah. The words that he wrote in Isaiah 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint nor grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases their strength. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. We're going to teach you a new song this morning. It's very simple. It does have a beat, so feel free to clap your hands. But it just speaks of the trustworthiness of our God and how he lifts us up. Let's sing this praise to him. Those who trust in the Lord are a strong mountain. They will not. They will not be moved. Let's sing that again. Sing with us.
Those who trust in the Lord are a strong mountain. They will not,
no, they will not,
not be moved. Trust
in the Lord
are as Mount Zion. They will not, they will not be moved.
Let's sing that verse again. Those who trust,
those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. Be moved.
Though the world moves like mad,
though the world moves like mad, you alone are faithful. Christ the King
sets my feet
on a firm foundation that will not,
no, it will not,
oh, it will not be moved.
He sets our feet, Christ the King,
Christ Christ the King sets my feet on a firm foundation that will not,
no, it will not,
it will not be moved. You will not be changed.
Wait, we're gonna take a solo. Here we go.
Trust
in the Lord
are a strong mountain. They will not,
they will not
be moved.
Sing that one more time. We declare this.
Those who trust
in the Lord
are a strong mountain. They will not,
no, they will not, they will not
be moved.
Amen, amen, amen. Lord, you are our foundation. We put our trust in you. You are faithful to the end. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Amen. Let's sing this.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Amen.
Our strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait.
Our God, you reign.
Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong
God. All right, I need my friends. I know there are some. I have seen you come in. Okay, is that everyone? I think so. All right, good morning. Okay, this is what happened at 8:30. Good morning. Okay, let's try it a third time. Good morning. Okay. Okay. I'm telling you, summer has hit these children. I can already tell you. All right, I have a question for you. Is there ever a time when you're doing something that is so fun? Let's say having a birthday party, going to the pool with your friends, going on vacation, lots of vacations. Tomorrow, I'm going with you. I'm just kidding. That you get so disappointed because it's the end of the time. Does that ever happen? You're having so much fun and you're caught up in so much excitement that it comes to the end of the party or your birthday or your vacation and it's just kind of like, oh. Do you ever get that way? I do, especially on a Sunday morning at 6:30 because my weekend's done. Or vacation, yeah, we all do that, don't we? Well, in the scripture today, it's talking about some of the disciples. And who are the disciples? They are, that's one of them, yes, we're going to talk about Peter, John. But who are they? They're friends of who? Very good. 8:30, they were having a hard time with that. But you know what? They went up on a mountain, and all of this fantastic stuff happened. Like, Jesus' clothes changed to white, and his face changed, and all these exciting things that have never seen before on the mountain happened. And then it was time to leave the mountain, and they were sad, because all of these exciting things happened with Jesus. But you know what? Just because they left the mountain doesn't mean that that experience has to end, right? That they can go and they could tell everybody about what happened on the mountain. And it just goes on. So the times that we think, okay, our vacation's over, or the swimming time is over, or our birthday is over, you know what? It's going to happen again. You're going to have another vacation. You're going to have another birthday. You're going to go swimming again. So think about that. Just don't think that those fun times are like, we're sad and we're disappointed. Yes. But you know what? It's going to happen again. And there's going to be more excitement, kind of like what the disciples experienced on the mountain. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for all the fun times we have and those to come. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And now they will leave.
With me.
But isn't this great to see all these kids here in the summer?
All right, right?
I wanted to share with you, I was just informed that of who did the painting of this beautiful mountain, and that's Danny Burgess's stepfather. So we want to thank him for that contribution. And if you would bow your heads as we go to God in prayer. God, we humbly come before you, slowly climbing a great mountain, using all that we have, all of our resources, to get as close as we can to you. We love when we're in your presence, surrounded by your grace and love and mercy. We love when we read in your word the great stories of faith of those that have gone before us and all the incredible things you've done through them. We cherish these moments that help us grow, these moments that help our faith be increased, these moments that just totally take us by surprise, fill us with emotions and feelings that oftentimes we can't put words into describing. But we know we've been touched by you, been touched by your grace. Lord, we pray that in those moments, we would be able to take them in the everyday life and the normal times, going to work, going to school, that we'd be able to touch the lives of others in an incredible way of showing love and compassion to our neighbors, whoever they may be. Lord, this morning we lift up in prayer Patsy Melton, the family of Patty Shoemaker, Pat Cash, Gitya Ramya, and we lift up our youth. You are the God that called us to first pray to you. You're the one that initiated the contact. You created us. You wanted to be in relationship with us, and it's an honor, God, to be able to further that relationship when we give our praise to you, give our prayers to you, and serve in your name. Now we pray the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen. As the ushers come forward with the offering bags, I would just like to remind you that this month, our mission is that we're collecting pop tabs. And with that, that helps us do a lot of ministry with the Ronald McDonald House. And we just would urge you to help with that. And also, you know, we do all types of mission through the life of Asbury. And lots of that we do with our hands. And then lots of that we need money to then work with our hands, right? And so we very much appreciate what you give this morning, and we thank you for that. Let us bless our offering. Holy God, we thank you, giver of all. You've given yourself to us. Your Son gave his life for us. You gave your Holy Spirit to us that we can use that power to go and serve the world. Help us to give back to you our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Amen. Thank you.
Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave.
It has been since sometime in early June since I've been in this service, and let me tell you, I have really missed it. I've really missed being able to worship with you, being able to sing these amazing praise songs, and just to be in your presence, and just to see the heartfelt band, our praise band that we have. We are very thankful for all of them, and I want to thank Kayla again for leading us this morning. So let us move to our scripture passage this morning, and it comes to us from Matthew chapter 17, 1 through 20. Now there are quite a few verses, and so what I want to urge you to do is to read along with me, not aloud, just silently to yourself. And that way, we'll all keep ourselves awake, and there's a great depth of importance within these passages that I hope that we can get out of this morning. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Get up and do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. And the disciples asked him, Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? He replied, Elijah is indeed coming and will restore all things, but I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but they did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man is about to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them about John the Baptist. When they came to the crowd, a man came to him, knelt before him, and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Jesus answered, You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. And the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? He said to them, Because of your little faith. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. I want to tell you about an incredible woman. A woman back in 2011 who was 61 years old at the time. She tells a story that in 1980, she had to have a knee replacement surgery. And because of complications with that, she developed a staph infection. And unfortunately, she had to have her leg amputated. Well, there were several different complications afterwards. There were complicated surgeries and there were infections, but finally, she got to the point where she could have her own prosthetic leg. And the image she wanted to have on her prosthetic leg, I didn't know, but you can actually have pictures put on a prosthetic leg. And she wanted it to be that of Mount Everest. Now, Mount Everest is over 29,000 feet tall. That is 5.5 miles up. She wanted that to be on her prosthetic leg to remind her to conquer her mountains in her life. Soon, the mountain couldn't get out of her mind, and she had to go see the mountain. And when she saw the mountain, she knew what she had to do, and she climbed it. She became the first female amputee to climb to the top of Mount Everest. Not only that, but she says that when she was getting close to the top, her hydraulic leg was malfunctioning because of the air pressure. Now, she climbed Mount Everest with one good leg. What an amazing, amazing experience this woman did. And she shares a quote I want to share with you. A leg does not define you. This leg does not make me who I am. I have my heart and my soul. Without the leg or with the leg, I want people to realize they're still who they were before the amputation. I considered myself modified and think that most people don't get out of this world without being modified in some way. Isn't that what mountaintop experiences tend to do for our lives? These epic, wondrous experiences, they urge us and they turn us and they shift us to be modified. And that's what happens with Peter, James, and John. They get this incredible invitation to go up the mountain with Jesus to see him transfigured. They see his robe dazzling white. They see his face shine bright. Not only that, but these fishermen, these Jewish fishermen, see Moses and Elijah next to Jesus. What a day for them. Overwhelming. Overwhelming, right? Mountaintop experiences push us forward, and if we use them right, they can help us in those times of the valley, or in those times where walking in the plains and the average days of life. Now, obviously, mountaintop experiences don't have to happen on a mountain, right? We call them that because of the wonder that we get from them. I want to share with you probably one of the most impactful mountaintop experiences of my life. When I was a freshman in high school, back in 2004, my youth group and I went to Rio Bravo, Mexico, on a mission trip. And this is what we saw. We saw families and young children living in tin metal houses. Some were even living in cardboard boxes. Our mission was to build a cinder block home so that it could be a much more of support and shelter for these families. I thought we were going there just to help some folks with the house. But little did I know how much change it would have in my life. All of these children running around, we got to play with them. We put on a little puppet show for them. We played soccer with them. One little girl named Maria Mercedes, I'll never forget her. She was about 8 or 9 years old, and me and another guy would put a little girl on our shoulders and we would race. And they had the biggest time with that. Each evening, we would return to the place where we were staying and we would kind of talk about our day. And it struck us how these people have nothing. They have nothing. All they have is family and friends and the love they can share and the fun between themselves. And when we think back and we look at our lives in the United States and we see people with possessions after possessions after possessions and owning things, but they're sad. They're filling their hearts with things that aren't the things that fill us with love. I remember a phrase that stuck with me and that I'll never forget: the smile of a child that has nothing. And it's always a reminder to me of how to keep things in perspective. What are the important things in life? It's not about TVs, video games, or other things we do for fun. It's about sharing love, sharing compassion and care and fellowship with one another, and getting out there in our world and hoping to serve others. That's how we grow. Those experiences change us. Many of you in this room have had different experiences in your life that have been profound. Maybe it was just an experience like I had on a mission trip. Maybe you did an incredible outdoor adventure. Maybe you've created your own small business in the community of Little Rock. Maybe it was when you saw the birth of your new baby. All of these mold us. I think it's funny sometimes. Have you ever thought what Jesus' mountaintop experiences might be? I think that there are probably different answers for all of us. But I got to think that that first Sermon on the Mount, the first time he preaches in public, he's preaching through it, and after he gives it, I know whenever I finish a sermon, I have this feeling of elation, excitement. I often wonder if he felt the same way. I also wonder, maybe he felt a mountaintop experience when his friend Lazarus, who he brought back from the dead, breathed again. Or maybe a mountaintop experience was when he got to wash the feet of the disciples who he knew would later betray him. But a final offering of love. There's a reason that I included that last part of the passage this morning. When Peter, James, and John come back from the mountain and they're in everyday life again, and the disciples have this chance to heal this boy and they can't do it. What I tend to think is they missed the point of what happened on the mountain. What was the whole purpose? Who created all of that? That was God, wasn't it? And oftentimes, I think the disciples get into their minds that Christ called them because of their strength, ability, or intelligence. But that's not why Jesus called fishermen, right? Jesus didn't call fishermen for their strength, intelligence, or ability. He called them for their faith. It takes faith to be a fisherman, right? Fishermen out there, you have to have a little bit of faith when you go out on the lake, hoping to catch. And that's what Jesus wants to say to us. We have to have faith that God will provide, that God will make a way. That's what Jesus was trying to show the disciples about the mustard seed. So tiny, under average. But you know, the thing about the mustard seed, the thing about it, is that what matters is the soil it's growing in. You see, the mustard seed, there's only potential. There's no guarantee, right? There's no guarantee that the seed will grow strong and become a tree. There's only potential. The guarantee comes with how good the soil is. And Jesus was trying to tell the disciples the soil they use in claiming their own ability in healing people won't cut it. That's rocky soil. That soil that's no good. Good soil comes from God. It was God that was the factor in making all of the transfiguration possible. And it was God that was the factor that healed the boy. And it turns to a large tree when we plant it in good soil. When we plant it in God's soil. This past year has been an incredible one for Jan and myself. We've experienced a lot of different things together. There were many, many months where we were apart for 5 hours away. And there were a lot of, this time last year, we were really concerned how we were going to get into the same state, how we were going to get into the same conference, and how we were going to somehow manage to get in the same city. The only answer I have is God. God was the deciding factor. We prayed night and day for all of this. We'd made sure that God, with God, there's a way. There's a way for it to come about. There's a way for it to be made known and for sure. And somehow, some way, Jan and I are in the same city, living in the same home, doing ministry in the same conference. And all I can say is God. Right? We allow God to do the work through us. Don't we know? God always knows the right way to go. When we understand about the faith of a mustard seed, and when we understand that faith of the mustard seed takes good soil being that we put our hearts out there, and we serve those. We love those. We don't just talk about it. We don't just preach about it. We just don't come to church, worship, and go home. We have to go back out and serve. That creates good soil. And when we have good soil and that mustard seed grows into that big tree, we can become mountain movers. Now, when I was growing up, and I read about how Jesus told the disciples, you can move that mountain from there over here, I was pretty confused. Jesus doesn't mean we literally take a mountain over here and place it over here. He's talking about the mountains in our life. The mountains that give us trouble. The mountains we need to conquer to get the next step of our faith and journey. With good soil, with faith of a mustard seed, we can move the mountains of sickness. We can move the mountains and help those in need. We can move the mountains of those that are facing tragedy, who have lost loved ones. We can move the mountains of those that are facing addictions. We can move the mountains of those that feel stuck in their life. We can move the mountains of those who are going through divorce. My brothers and sisters, Jesus calls us to be this very thing. How will we go? How will we leave this place? Will we go with fire to be different, to grow with good soil? And will we pledge to go and move the mountains? We do it with the grace of God. Only the grace of God can move mountains. That's what I've learned since I've been alive. Let us go forth with strength, passion, love, commitment to go and move mountains. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. We will be standing as we sing our closing praise song. If there are those that want to come forward to our prayer altars to pray, if there are those that want to join the life of our church in any way of recommitment and faith, of joining this church or dedicating your life to Christ for the first time, we would gladly welcome you up here.
Father, it's only by fixing our eyes on you, the author of our hope, the author of our faith, that we are able to do these mighty things, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for your love that is the power behind us. Give to us to say we can move mountains. Lord, may we keep our eyes fixed on you. And may we walk away today in that courage. Your love never fails. It never runs out. It never gives up. Amen.
So, what will we do? Will we go and move mountains? Mountains for other people in our lives? Mountains in our own lives? Mountains for strangers and neighbors? That's what we're called to do. I hope that in this service you've been filled with strength. Hope that you've been filled with love. Hope that you've been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because let me tell you, when you have the power of the Holy Spirit running through your veins, nothing can stop you. Let us go forth and serve this world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
It never runs out on me. Your